getting to the great pleasure to introduce the first of tonight's speakers, who is Helen.
My name's Helen, I'm an addict.
Hi, Helen. I'm
really nervous. Last time I did a chair here, I was holding the speaker, the microphone, like it was I was on a talk show or something, but today I don't want to do that. I'm really nervous, and I have the overwhelming desire for all of you to like me and to please you all and give you all what you want to hear and all this kind of stuff. And quite similar to how I live some of my life is wanting the impossible, or trying to achieve the impossible, and because I know that isn't possible. And and what I've learned is it's all right to be me as well. It's all right to be me, to be loud. It's all right for me to be nervous, and it's all right to, these things are okay, and that I'm in a safe place to do that. I feel safer with myself to do that. Wanting to achieve impossible things. I think, if I go right back to when I wanted my dad not to be an alcoholic. I didn't want that. I wanted him not to be an alcoholic. I wanted him to be a dad to me. So I spent a lot of my life wanting that not to be right, which was pointless. I've learned, the longer I've stayed in recovery, I spend a lot of my time wanting things to be different that I can't really change. I have to accept where I come from. This is the place I come from. And it doesn't... it's no reflection on me that I can't have these things also. Because that's another thing that I've learnt I do. I try and make everything about me in some form. Those things aren't a reflection of me. That thing about, just wanting things to be different and not how they were, not accepting how they were, kind of gave me a bit of angst growing up. So when drugs did come along, it was probably the solution that I was looking for. Because it kind of eased all that stuff. I don't know what I would have done without my using, to be honest, as a person. I don't know where I would have been. I think maybe I'd have been in a mental hospital or something like that, or I don't know. I don't know. I can't think about that. But and it took me to lots of places that I didn't really, I didn't set out to kind of, have a child at 16, have a baby at 16. I didn't set out to, I didn't think I did. I didn't set out to choose a partner who was just completely useless. I don't think I set out to do those things, but I just did them. I did, it was like I had no kind of thing about, oh, maybe that's not a good idea, or think about making choices, and it felt like I just did things. And so my addiction led me to a place where my son was in care. I ended up on the street. I was a bit psychotic at that point, and so I had the consequences of the drug use and my decision, all the decisions I kind of made. Fast forwarding it right up until, I've been doing this. I got into recovery. I didn't really know what I was doing initially. I had no idea that I'd be here 13 years later. I had no idea that was... when I was in rehab, it was a bit like, oh, I'll see what I'll be like when I leave, or, and it was always kind of those little immediate goals, whereas now I can really, you know, God willing, I can see that if I continue to do this stuff, I could be in recovery for the rest of my life, and that's what I want. I want that. I'm really grateful. I want that as well. I want to be a person that, you know, kind of changes and evolves, and, you know, takes responsibility. No matter how difficult that is at times, I want to be that person, because it's, you know, the alternative isn't attractive. You know, it's not, you know, when you can't take responsibility, when you're always putting the finger out, you know, on others, or, you know, just react, just say things, spiteful, you know, or angry, all this kind of stuff. I don't want to be that person. You know, little things like, you know, little things get me all the time. It's, you know, I've got the big stuff, you know, I've got my son back in recovery, I've got, you know, I've got a good job, you know, you're kind of, I've got a home, and I've got friends, and all, I've got all that stuff. But little things really touch me some, you know, sometimes that, you know, that there's an elderly woman who couldn't work out the oyster thing on the machine coming and through the train, and she was going in the wrong, the coming out, you know, going in the wrong aisle, and I just sort of said, no, it's, you know, it's kind of over there. It's like little things, like, it makes you feel like you just, I don't know, I know I've given myself a pat on the back there, which is, but I just think, you know, that's something that shows me that I'm actually taking time and slowed down enough to actually bother about another human being. You know, I couldn't be bothered about myself, you know, and so I was, certainly wasn't really interested in what others were really doing. You know, and I said, God willing, I just wanted to get back to that bit, because, you know, I believe, you know, this program is a spiritual program, and, you know, and I always pray whenever I do a chair, I pretty much always ask for certain defects to be removed. I do the step 7 prayer. And, you know, and I just want to, you know, that for me, it's not, there's nothing wrong with a religious, you know, aspect of prayer, but for me it's not. For me it's about actually really listening to myself, and you know, because I know what's right or wrong. I know these things, you know, I kind of, you know, I've always known myself well enough. It's kind of getting to the truth of the matter is sometimes the difficult part. But, you know, so actually, you know, when I, you know, I don't hear people talk, you know, people, I mean, I'll probably go right up my own backside in a minute with this stuff. But what it's about, you know, it's about, you know, me sort of slowing down and really listening to myself. And also, like, an honest appraisal of who I am. You know, who I am is, you know, who I can be is insecure, fearful, you know, jealous. You know, there's other things. So, you know, I try, you know, and I try not to be, you know, and I try not to be that person. You know, I try not to react. Doesn't always work. But so yeah, so I feel lucky that I enjoy recovery. My son is, I always say, because it's a good recovery story, my son is in recovery. I drove him to rehab when he was 19. Not that he got an addiction and all the rest of it, but he's actually, you know, doing something with his life, and I don't have to worry about him. You know, when he was going through his addiction, I was my whole, like, about 7, 8, 9 years of my, 7, 8 years of my recovery has been worrying about him and how he was. And, you know, and he finally came into recovery, and basically, you know, he's been looked after within this fellowship. And, you know, and I'd always be, I'm grateful for what's happened to me, but I'm doubly grateful to what's happened with him. So, yeah, and really nice to be sitting here with Barney, because we go to a meeting up the road. So I was going to say we like the Clapham Massive, sorry. up here. But, you know, I even when I think about that meeting, I think I spent about a year being resentful at a girl at work at my previous job, and I was so stuck, and it's like the moment I let go of this resentment, and it was about taking some responsibility in the situation, I progressed straight away. I got the job that I wanted. I kind of, I got the money that I wanted to be paid as well. It's just that, I don't know why I'm saying that, probably making not much sense, but it's just, NA allows me to go through my stuff and live my life without having, and I can be whoever I want to be and not have to pick up a drug. I work this program. I actually work this program. I believe in, I believe in it. I believe that it's the answer for me to kind of get a bit of clarity. And, like I said, I do the step 7 prayer. It's where it's at for me. It's just kind of like, being able to be honest and open. And, I'll leave it there because I think the time's coming up. But thanks.
Thank you.